Today we do come and are invited to give thanks to the Lord. And we should give thanks to Him with our lips. We should tell Him thank you. Express our thanks to Him. One of the gauges that I used with the kids on whether how much they were getting, whether it was too much or too little, was if they continued to say thank you for what they got, then that was indication that there was maybe still in the all right zone. But when they got something and didn't think immediately to say thank you, then maybe it was time to cut back on what they got. And maybe God uses an indication like that with us as well, that He wants us to say thank you to Him. And it's like with the children, not so much for His sake, but for ours, to make sure that He's not spoiling us, that He's not giving us too much, that is to our harm rather than our good. It was a case in the beginning when God placed us in the Garden of Eden and all was good. Everything was good. Everything was right. But we consumed that upon our own selves, and we made it an opportunity to turn away from God and to turn into our own selves. And it's interesting that by the end of the story, when God cast out us from the garden where everything was good, the word is used that it became a garden of indulgence, a garden of delight, but a delight in the sense that it would further if He let us remain in that once we turned it to the old creation. If He continued to allow us to have where everything was good, we would end up devouring it upon the old creation, our own selves, our own lusts, and it would cause further our breakdown in spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And so sometimes God wants us to hear Him say thank you with our lips, so He knows that we're still looking to Him. We're still appreciated to Him for all that He's given us. If we kept saying thank you, then He may feel that it's time to allow some little bit more difficulty in our lives so that we can appreciate Him. Because if we don't say thank you, we can become, in the example with the kids, we can become spoiled children in His eyes, and that's not good to Him, it's not good to us, it's not good for anyone else. Say thank you with our lips. But our lips are not the only thing that we should say thank you with. More importantly, we should say thank you to Him with our lives. That if we're truly thankful to Him, first of all, of course, if we're thankful for Him for sending His Son and being our Savior, then we should accept Him as our Lord and Savior and trust Him for salvation. If we're truly thankful that what He's done for us has provided us a way to live for Him, then we should walk that way. We should rely in faith upon Him and to walk away. Probably more than our lips, our lives express whether or not we are truly thankful to Him for what He's done for us. How have we done this last week? How have we done this morning? Are we looking to ourselves, dependent upon ourselves? Then we're not being thankful to Him. Are we depending upon Him to be here this morning? Are we dependent upon Him? How much are we dependent upon Him this last week? How much are we depending upon Him right now as we gather here in worship? That speaks more loudly to God whether we're thankful or not to Him. If we're truly thankful for what He's done for us in His Son, Jesus Christ, not only to provide us salvation, but the way to live out salvation, then we'll be applying it to our lives. Without this application to our lives, we're really not being thankful. And even then, if we offer it with our lips only, that thankfulness rings hollow because we're not living it out in our lives. How much Jesus Christ has done for us, what He went for us to provide that we could walk with Him moment by moment, day by day, that we could experience all that He is and has, that we could experience His Spirit in our lives. If we're truly thankful this time of year, May we endeavor to live it out before Him. There are some stories that are common around, we've got this week Thanksgiving, and already the stores have Christmas items up, and both Matthew and Andrew are working at JCPenney's, and they've already told them they're going to work all day. They call it Black Friday because of the mad rush to the stores to buy Christmas stuff. And there's some stories that are traditional around Christmas time. Unfortunately, the Nativity story is losing ground, but others, such as Night Before Christmas, Christmas Carol, we told you went and saw that at the movies, still traditional. For me, one of the traditional stories in this time of year falls in Luke chapter 17. And it's the story of the ten lepers. And I just want to mention it this morning and then extend an invitation for ourselves. There's one particular one of these ten who's a Samaritan. And the Holy Land is divided in three parts in this day. The upper part of the Holy Land, the upper third of the Holy Land, was predominantly Gentile or non-religious as compared to the Scriptures. It is still remarkable to me that Jesus set up His base of operation in predominantly Gentile area rather than in the predominantly religious area. In other words, He felt more free and safer in that area than he did where he was later crucified. The middle area is Samaria, and then the bottom third is the land of Judah, and that's where the predominantly religious ones of the Scriptures live. That's where Jerusalem lives. Samaria was in the middle, and for good reason, and not only geography wise, but they were mixed between the Gentiles of the north and the Jews of the south. They were mixed in race. They were mixed in religion. And they were hated from both sides. They were looked down upon by the Gentiles of the north, and they were hated and despised by the Jews of the south. And one of them, Scripture points out, was a Samaritan in our story. But the person in the story would have grown up in a religious family, even though they had the Samaritans had twisted some things biblically, scripturally. They were still very religious, most of them. And this person would have grown up with hope in his heart and life that in his region, in his area, he could look forward to growing up, to probably move into the family business and work in it, and to look forward to meeting someone, to get married, to have a family, raise children, and have a nice, happy life. Somewhere along the lines, for this person, he would have noticed that there was something not quite right in his life. Didn't feel right physically. And he would have noted that there was a white spot on his body. Would have went to the priest to have him examined. The priest would have said, come back in 7 days. He would wait it out 7 days in anticipation of what the priest might find, and when he went back to the priest told him what he feared the most. He called it leprosy. We can't imagine today what that word would have meant to his ears. But even the Samaritan region, it would have meant that he would no longer be able to be a part of his family, no longer be able to have hopes and dreams that he had before, no longer would he be able to go to church and worship God. He was to be outcast and to live in a colony all the days of his life. And on that day, he would have marched out into the colony to spend his days with others with this dreaded and despised disease that would have made him unclean to all other people. But there was one day he would have heard rumors that there was a person that was coming through, Samaria. And some were saying that he was able to do great things in people's lives. And he's actually healing people of all kinds of diseases. Some were even whispering that this person may even be the Messiah. So this one, this Samaritan, along with nine others, did something they probably very rarely dared to do. they left the colony, and they went out to the outskirts of the city, not daring to go inside where the people were, not permitted to go inside where the people were. And they waited. And they at last would see this one walking down the road with a few others following behind him. And as he drew near, as this one drew near, they shouted out together with their joint voices, probably in order to be heard. And they shouted out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And he stopped. And he turned to them and said, "Having gone, show yourselves to the priests." They must have thought this was a strange thing for this one who was supposed to be this Messiah, this one who's supposed to do so much for so many others, and yet this is all that he said to them. Jesus continued on his way. They're left what to do. Not knowing what to do, they headed toward the priest. Not understanding they'd already been to the priest. The priest, the only thing the priest could do for them was to tell them they were unclean and could not be a part of all that we just mentioned. And yet they were going there out of obedience to this one who told them to go. Somewhere along that trip to the priest, they looked down and the leprosy was gone. They were clean. They were healed. And they all set out then to go to the priest, not to be declared again that they were unclean, but now to be declared that they were clean, that they were healed, that they could go on to their lives were restored, they could go back to their families, they could go back to their communities, they could go back to their hopes and dreams. And they all set out now to the priest to be officially declared healed, officially declared clean. All that is, except one. The ones turned around and went back and ran after Jesus and came and fell at his feet. And he heard this one speak, not to him, but to those around him and gathered around, saying, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Cannot anyone be found who returned to praise God except this one of another race?" And as this one lay at the feet of Jesus, now knowing him as his Messiah, as his Savior, now knowing not only cleansing of his body and healing of his body, but also of his spirit and soul, he heard Jesus say these words down to him: "Having gotten up, go. Your faith has saved you." This morning, the call for us is to be the one out of the 10.